Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 26 May, 2026. Zachariah.
Well, my wife gave me this mandate. She said, pick up your pallet and walk. Well, here I am. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer. Now you have been here for a long time. The reason, one of the primary reasons for silent prayer is to give you the opportunity for rebound if you're out of fellowship. I know it's hard to believe, but you all have a sin nature. And you, from your free will, make bad decisions and sin. And some of you come here and you're out of fellowship with God. So we give you a few moments of silent prayer for that great problem-solving device, rebound. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit in your spiritual life, and now you're ready to feed on the absolute truth of the Word of God. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're getting very close to Vacation Bible School, June 8th to the 12th, 9 a.m. to noon. We have these flyers out there. People have to know we have Vacation Bible School. If they don't know, well, they won't be here. Take as many of those flyers as you want to give to your family, friends, neighborhood, at work, so that people know that we have Vacation Bible School at Upland Bible Church. And pray that God will draw by His hand of grace all those children who are supposed to be here. And that as a result of this, many sons might be brought into glory. So there's a bunch of them out there. These are the flyers to hand out. Take as many as you want. You take them all, great. We'll print another million. There you go. Evangelistically speaking. Did you have a great Memorial Day? Yesterday, Memorial Day. I hope you all had a great Memorial Day. And in honor of Memorial Day, I'd like to read this article, Beneath an Iowa Sky, by Tom Gilbreth. In 1998, I sat in a movie theater watching a film set during World War II. 30 minutes in, the movie turned from scenes of war to a barren yet majestic countryside beneath a superb Iowa sky. A day so perfect, it seemed to connect the ground of earth to the glories of heaven. Then, rolling along a dirt road, a dark gray car entered the frame, moving toward a farm in the distance, a quintessentially American farm. The scene changed. Inside the farmhouse, a woman stood washing dishes. A shadow of apprehension haunted her eyes. Intent on her work, she did not notice the day's glory or the approaching car. But the camera, looking from behind the woman through the window over the sink, saw both. It was a gray government car. Department of War, now traveling up her driveway. Finally, she saw it and moved from the kitchen into the living room, where she paused to look out the screen door. She briefly stood silhouetted against the bright day beyond the door, and then she stepped outside. The government car, an army car, rolled up to the house, stopping just beyond the porch. Two uniformed men emerged from it. One in a military uniform, and the other in the uniform of a priest. Before they had spoken a word, she felt the message they carried and collapsed onto the wooden floor of the porch. Nothing could seem further from war than this picturesque Iowa farm. But this was the American home front of World War II. When her four sons left Iowa to fight for their country and for freedom, Pearl Harbor, Iwo Jima, Auschwitz, and Normandy had come to Iowa. And the character is about to learn that three of those four sons have been killed in action. This scene from Steven Spielberg's Saving Private Ryan takes place about half an hour into the movie. Most of that first half hour featured a visceral ocean and sand level view of the D-Day invasion at Normandy. The 1962 film, The Longest Day, gave huge sweeping panoramas of that world-changing event. But Steven Spielberg brought us in close. He filled our eyes and ears with the terrible sights and sounds of war. A baptism by immersion into an environment thick with the horror of men dying and of death impending. On that day, in real life, 2,501 Americans, most of them very young, died on or near those beaches. At Pearl Harbor, 30 months before, 2,403 Americans died. Those were just the American deaths in two battles of one war. Approximately 1.3 million U.S. soldiers and service members have died in all major wars in our country. Each one a real flesh and blood human being with real dreams and real lives they hope to come home to. Like Spielberg's fictional story, they all had mothers, most still alive. Each death felt as bad to their mothers as a similar loss would feel to you. They all had families of one kind or another. Some had sweethearts or spouses. Some had children they never met. We honor our nation and its founders on Independence Day. We honor the military on Veterans Day. But our forebears wisely set aside another day. Memorial Day, to specifically remember those who gave their lives for their country and their countrymen. I usually watch the end credits at movies, but most people don't. Saving Private Ryan was different. Most of this audience stayed. Soft sobs mixed with the music. As the credits wound down, the people eventually left. After the film completely stopped and the lights came up, three groups of 5 to 10 people were still in the theater. At the center of each group sat a white-haired, sobbing man. The people surrounding them were apparently family members offering support. The movie ended with survivors' guilt and its question. Why am I alive when so many others died? Do I deserve their sacrifice? That question applies to all of us. Do we deserve their sacrifice? And the answer is no, absolutely not, we don't. Fallen heroes bequeath to each American a gift of grace. Been given to all of us, all of you. An unmerited but beautiful birthright. Don't misunderstand. This nation, like every nation, is flawed. But America's freedoms give its citizens the opportunity to make things better. We did not earn this birthright. How could we? We weren't alive yet, for many. For that reason, our history and rights may seem ethereal or abstract, but they are real and they are mighty. That's why it's heartbreaking that so many people in our nation today scorn this amazing heritage. Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And then he, our Lord Jesus Christ, became the ultimate example of that love. Christians remember our Lord and His sacrifice every time we partake of communion. America sets aside one day a year to remember those who gave their lives for our country. On that day, at least, may we remember what a very big deal each of their lives was, and the magnificent gift their sacrifices conferred on us. I hope you all had a great Memorial Day. Very, very special day. All right. Now, this last week you had Operation Grace. I sat in here Sunday and listened to that Yahoo who was teaching. I kind of felt like the colonel. The colonel had Alzheimer's, you know, and he was out of the pulpit. And every day, the people that were taking care of him played one of his classes to him. And he's sitting there listening to it. And when he got done listening to it, he says, hey, that guy's pretty good. I sat here Sunday and I heard, boy, that guy wasn't bad, pretty good. Well, now we're back in Zechariah chapter 6. We've studied the eight visions of Zechariah in chapter 1, verse 7 to 6, 18. That brought us to Zechariah 6, 9 to 15, the crowning of Joshua. And now in verse 12, abruptly, Zechariah is commanded to deliver a message to Joshua. Behold, the man whose name is the branch. Behold, the man whose name is the branch. And that title, the branch, is a very, very special title, a messianic title for our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of David. The noun man puts the spotlight on the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. The greatest miracle this world will ever know. The eternal Son of God had to become true humanity to carry out the Father's plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. It was the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ that went to the cross and solved the world problem of sin once and for all. Israel is the tree, and the root of the tree is the Lord Jesus Christ at His first advent. The first advent. The root is Jesus Christ at the first advent. The fifth cycle of discipline made the tree a stump, but Jesus Christ grows out of the stump and He becomes the branch who will fulfill the unconditional covenants to Israel at the second advent. The root, the first advent. The branch, the second advent. Those unconditional covenants, the Abrahamic, and I'm going to quit calling it the Palestinian covenant, but the real estate covenant. Abrahamic, real estate, Davidic, and new covenants. So the branch is a messianic title for Christ as the Son of David. We saw that in Isaiah 4:2, Jeremiah 23:5 and 6, Jeremiah 33:15 and 16, Zechariah 3:8, and our verse, Zechariah 6, verse 12. Now in the rest of this passage, Zechariah 6, verses 12 to 15, seven prophecies are given concerning the messianic branch. Prophecy number one, Messiah, the branch, the Tzemach, will tzamach. Tzemach will tzamach. The branch will branch out. That's prophecy number one. Prophecy number two, Messiah, the branch, will build the temple of the Lord. This is the millennial temple in the millennial kingdom. Prophecy number two. Prophecy number three, the Messiah, the branch, is to bear the glory. We studied that. That brought us to prophecy number four, Messiah, the branch, shall sit and rule on His throne. He will be a king. We didn't quite finish pulling that all together. We have in that the conjunction vav is a connective vav, correctly translated, and it's also a conversive vav. This is unique to Hebrew. You don't have this in Koine Greek, but you have it in the Hebrew. It's a conversive vav converting the perfect of the verb yashav into an imperfect. And the verb yashav literally means to sit or to remain or to dwell, but it is especially used of sitting on a throne, being enthroned as a king. It's combined with the verb mashal, which means to rule, to reign, to have dominion. The branch, the Messiah, will sit and rule, al-Kasei, on His throne in the city of Jerusalem. Having dispossessed Satan and his demons from their control of planet Earth, the Messiah will reclaim the planet as its creator and redeemer. He will sit on the throne of His Father, David. We saw that in Luke 1, 31 to 33. And He will rule in righteousness with a rod of iron. We stopped about there. We did end with one passage, and we'll start with that passage tonight. Isaiah 11. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah Isaiah 11, the rule of the branch of Jesse. Isaiah 11, starting at verse 1. A shoot, this is the Messiah, will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness. Absolute righteousness. He will judge the destitute with justice. He will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the reversionists. Righteousness will be his belt, and truth, absolute truth, Bible doctrine, the sash around his faith, his waist. That's one key passage. Now turn over to Psalm 2, the second Psalm. Psalm 2. And by the way, we're going to see this psalm again in our Hebrews class, on Thursday night class. Psalm 2, verse 7. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. That's God the Father. He said to me, God the Son, you are my Son, the deity of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Today I have become your Father. That is, this is the day of coronation. Psalm 2 was sung at the coronation of kings like King David, King Solomon. I have become your Father, the day of coronation. When he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, his resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father. Ask of me, I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession, and you will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. And therefore, you kings of the earth, be wise and be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Happinesses are all the ones who take refuge in him. And then turn over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2, verse 27. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery. Turn over to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse 5. She gave birth to a son, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. So he will rule in righteousness with a rod of iron, an iron scepter. So verse 13a, we've only exegeted half of the verse. Yes, it is he, the branch, the Messiah, who will build the temple of the Lord, the millennial temple, and he will be clothed with glory, and he will sit and rule on his throne. Now that brings us to prophecy number 5. Prophecy number 5. Messiah, the branch, will also be a priest. Messiah, the branch, will also be a priest. That's Zechariah 6:13b. In the King James, it sounds like this, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. We have the conjunction vav, prefixed to the cal perfect of hayah, the Hebrew to be verb, plus the noun kohen, plus the preposition al, joined by a makef to the noun kisei, with the third person singular masculine suffix, plus the conjunction vav, prefixed to the construct of eitzah, plus the noun shalom, plus the cal imperfect of hayah repeated, plus the construct of bayin, and the numeral shenayim with the third person plural masculine suffix. The conjunction vav is a connective vav and, but it is also a conversive vav, converting the perfect of hayah into the imperfect. And you correctly translate that. And he, the branch, will be. This is looking at the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennium, coming back at the second advent, his millennial rule. He is a king and he is a priest in the millennial kingdom. And he, the branch, will be. And then what will he be? He'll be a Kohen. Now, this is a name in the Jewish people. There are a lot of Kohens out there. When you see Kohen, you're looking at a Jew. And that's what we have here. Kohen is a priest. That's the word priest. And then we have Al-Kisei. Or it looks like Al-Kissed. Al, you've been kissing again? Well, sure he has. Al and Sherry just had their anniversary. Whew! It was a humdinger, too, let me tell you. Al Kisei. Okay, Al-Kisei, that's the I-N, A-L, joined by Makef, K-I-S-S-E, Al-Kisei, and that means on his throne, a priest on his throne. And then we have Va-Atzat Shalom, and I'll put that up here too so you can see it. Va-Atzat, and then Shalom. So that's the vav right there. V-A, and then I-N, A-T-S, A-T, and then Shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M. Va'etzat shalom. This is the construct of the noun Eitzah plus shalom. Now, this is important. We need to pull this together. One, Eitzah literally means counsel and advice. Counsel and advice. Two, combined with the noun shalom, which is translated peace, this counsel is wisdom. Tremendous wisdom. Three, in other words, the branch, the Messiah, will function as both a king and a priest in the millennial kingdom with great wisdom, sagacity, and harmony. That's shalom. The branch, the Messiah, will function as both a king and a priest in the millennial kingdom with great wisdom, sagacity, and harmony. Four, the Messiah will exercise not only his kingly rule, but his priestly rule as well. The Messiah will exercise not only his kingly rule, but his priestly rule as well. Five, the branch, the Messiah, is not a priest from the Levitical Aaronic priesthood. He's not a priest from the Aaronic priesthood. Six, rather, he is after the order of Melchizedek, king of Salem, who was both a king and a priest. Melchizedek, made up of Melech, king, Tzedek, righteousness. So Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Melech, Tzedek. So rather, he is after the order of Melchizedek, king of Salem, who was both a king and a priest. Turn over to Psalm 110. Psalm 110. Psalm 110, verse 4. Psalm 110, verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. You are a king, a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, and our Thursday night class is Hebrews. Oh, I just get all cranked up. My knees even feel better when I teach Hebrews. Turn over to Hebrews 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings, actually the slaughter of the kings, and he blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means King of Righteousness. King of Righteousness. Then also, King of Salem means King of Peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, who remains a priest forever. Hebrews 7, 1 through 3. So he is after the order of Melchizedek, King of Righteousness, King of Salem, who was both a king and a priest. Psalm 110, 4, Hebrews 7, 1 to 3. Point 7. Today, Jesus the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God the Father, exercising only his priestly role. Today, Jesus the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God the Father, exercising only his priestly role. Look over at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Hebrews 8, verse 1. The point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord and not by man. So today, Jesus the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God the Father, exercising only his priestly role. 8. Tension and rivalry often existed between the king of Israel and the priests in Israel throughout the nation's history. Tension and rivalry often existed between the king of Israel and the priests of Israel throughout the nation's history. 9. But in the millennial kingdom, both offices will reside in the Messiah, the branch who will function as a king priest. But in the millennial kingdom, both offices will reside in the Messiah, the branch, who will function as a king priest. 10. He will reconcile both positions and bring peace, harmony to the entire world. He will reconcile both positions and bring peace, harmony to the entire world. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9. And this was a part of our Christmas special this last year. Isaiah 9, starting at verse 6. For unto us a child is born. That is the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. true humanity, the true humanity of Christ. And to us, a Son is given. The eternal Son of God is given. Together, the hypostatic union, Jesus Christ is the God-man, undiminished deity, true humanity, united in one person forever. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonder Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, this is world peace and prosperity all over planet Earth, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne, Jewish royalty, and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, will accomplish this. Now turn over to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, starting in verse 12. I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations, like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm, and dandled on her knees, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Isaiah 66, 12 and 13. All right, now we have verse 13 exegeted, completed. Verse 13 sounds like this. Yes, it is he, the branch, the Messiah, who will build the temple of the Lord, the millennial temple, and he will be clothed with glory, and he will sit and rule on his throne, and he will be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace, world peace, great harmony, will be between these two offices, both king and priest. Now, verses 14 and 15. And verse 14 serves as an illustration of prophecy number 6, and prophecy number 6 is in verse 15. So Zechariah 6:14 serves as the illustration of prophecy number 6, which is in Zechariah 6, verse 15. In other words, like the Jewish delegation that came from Babylon, so also Gentiles from all over the world will bring gifts to Jerusalem in the millennial kingdom. But first, the illustration. So verse 14, the illustration, and the corrected translation sounds like this. Now the crown will become a reminder in the temple of the Lord to Helam, Tobijah, Jediah, and Chain, the son of Zephaniah. And we noted that Helam is the same person Heldai in verse 10. And once Heldai got to Jerusalem, he changed his name to Helam. And Helam means the recipient of the word of God. And Tobijah, we study this, means pleasing to the Lord. And Jediah means the Lord knows him and provides for him. And they are all staying with Josiah, which means the Lord healed. These three men who left Babylon and came to Jerusalem believed that God and his word was far more important than the details of life. They brought gifts for the making of the crown to be placed in the temple. That's the great illustration, verse 14. Now, verse 15, prophecy number 6. Messiah, the branch, will build the millennial temple with gifts donated by righteous Gentiles coming from all over planet Earth. So Messiah, the branch, will build the millennial temple with gifts donated by righteous Gentiles. Verse 15. And they that are far off. I know a lot of people that are far off, but anyway, that's not what we have here. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the plural of the adjective rakok, plus the cal perfect of the verb bo, plus the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal perfect of bana, plus the preposition base prefix to the noun hekal, plus the tetragrammaton. All right, the conjunction vav is, this time, it's an ascensive use of vav, and it's correctly translated even, the ascensive use of the conjunction vav, even, and then we have the adjective rakok. R-A-C-H, long O-Q, rakok. And rakok is an adjective, and as an adjective it means distant or far. However, in our verse, rakok is not used as an adjective, it's substantival. And that means it functions as a noun. And in the plural, which is what we have, it should be correctly translated distant ones, or those from afar, or people from afar. Distant ones, those from afar, people from afar. In other words, one, in the millennial kingdom, Gentiles from afar, from all around planet Earth, will bring gifts to Jerusalem. In the millennial kingdom, Gentiles from afar will bring gifts to Jerusalem. Two, they will bow and bana. They will bow and bana. That is, they will come and build. They will bow and bana. They will come and build. Three, and they will bring gifts to build Hekal Jehovah. They will bring gifts to build Hekal, and then the tetragrammaton. That's H, long E, K, A, L, and then the tetragrammaton. Hekal Jehovah. And that's the temple of the Lord. They will bring gifts to build the temple of the Lord. So, corrected translation, even those from afar, from Gentiles from all around the world will come and help to build the temple of the Lord. And then we have, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal perfect of yada, plus the particle ki, joined by a makef to Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, plus the cal perfect of shalak with the first person singular suffix, plus the preposition el with the second person plural masculine suffix. All right. The conjunction vav is a transitional vav, and it may be translated and, or moreover, or now, or then. We'll translate it then. The conjunction vav is a conversive vav, converting the perfect of the verb yada to an imperfect. Then you will know. Then you will know. And then we have ki Jehovah Tsevaoth, that the Lord of the armies, that the Lord Almighty. And then we have shalakani alekem, has sent me to you. So, corrected translation, even those from afar, Gentiles from around the world, will come and help to build the temple of the Lord. And then you will know that the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, has sent me to you. All right. One. Messiah, the branch, will build the millennial temple with gifts donated by grace-righteous Gentiles. Messiah, the branch, will build the millennial temple with gifts donated by grace-righteous Gentiles. They have believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. They are spiritually mature, grace-righteous believers, and they're coming all the way to Jerusalem with the great gifts for the help to build the millennial temple. Two, in other words, like the Jewish delegation from Babylon in Zechariah's day, in other words, like the Jewish delegation from Babylon in Zechariah's day, Gentiles in the millennial kingdom will bring gifts to Jerusalem. Three, the Messiah, the branch, Jesus Christ, will use these gifts to help build the millennial temple. Messiah, the branch, will use these gifts to help build the millennial temple. Now, there are several passages I want to go through and show you, but we will look at those passages. We'll start with them next week and continue on in this great study in Zechariah. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.